Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle. My guest this evening is Ann Lalek, Gallery Director and Arts Coordinator for Penn State Lehigh Valley. And we'll be talking a little bit about, well, a lot about, our arts project online, the gallery's response to the COVID pandemic and taking the work of the gallery and the exhibits and sharing it with the public online. Arts Project Online is a web event series, literally, featuring visual artists discussing their exhibits at Penn State Lehigh Valley. Each exhibit is explored with the artists and through the lens of Google Expedition, so you actually walk through the installation. This September 3rd, Arts Project Online will feature a guided tour of a very powerful exhibit called What Were You Wearing? Survivor Art Installation. The Arts Project Online evening or event will feature a panel discussion hosting the exhibition's creators, some special guests, and the creators will walk us through the exhibit. Panelists will talk about how Penn State Lehigh Valley made this exhibit their own. So it's a fascinating event coming up again September 3rd, and I'm very excited to have Anne here to talk with us a little bit about how this came about and how the Arts Project Online series has developed and is working. So welcome, Anne.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited to share how Arts Project Online happened. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, we're all away from our workspaces and working from home, and the art gallery, the Ronald K. DeLong Gallery and the community gallery here at the campus, suddenly it's shut down. There's no shows, and this need and this just urge to stay connected with the community was very strong, and I honestly didn't have an idea or a clue of how to do that. And then one of our students who just graduated in May, her name's Elise Schaefer, and I believe you just had her on our show a month or so ago.
Yes.
Elise and I were talking on a Zoom meeting, and she said, you know, Anne, I have these guided or these Google expedition tours of all the exhibits that we had last fall at the campus. And, you know, my jaw dropped. I said, wow, okay, let me, you know, can I see them? Because really, I knew she was doing them last year with our virtual education department, but I really didn't, honestly, I just was so busy with everything physical that was here in place. I really didn't take the time to acknowledge them and to really look at them. So she shared them with me. And between the two of us, we said, well, how about we just go online and we're going to call it this Arts Project Online and bring the artist back who exhibited here last fall and give a tour, as you said in our introduction. Elise shares the tour, and it's such an interesting medium, Google Expeditions, because there's these things called points of interest. So along with looking at the exhibit, like immersed in the exhibit, you can click on points of interest where she interviewed the artist, or she had added sound, or she added some background information about the work. So it really turned into something I thought was very interesting, and of course then bringing the artist on as a panelist, and then they could talk more about the exhibit. So we did three over the summer, and the one coming up on September 3rd will be our fourth and actually final one. And then in the fall, we're going to be doing some other online programming, but not with the tours of the gallery space. So they'll be set up a little differently.
So that's interesting that actually this, and I'm kind of been fascinated since March at how the arts world has responded to not being able to interact physically with an audience or with an exhibit or with a show. And in some ways, you know, I think at the beginning of this period, it felt like such an obstacle and such a shutting down. But what you've done then is essentially revisited these shows in a way that opens them up even more fully for an audience.
Yes, right. You can get more insight. You know, maybe you did, maybe someone did visit the exhibit last fall and maybe they enjoyed it, but this is giving them a whole different insight and perspective. And the other thing I have to say that I love about this is people are joining us from other parts of the country. It's not just the local regional community that's able to be involved. We had people from Arizona and from Maryland, Virginia, New York. I mean, we've had people from, you know, all over the place. And so that's like, that's just another great advantage to doing something like this.
And so if I want to participate on September 3rd, this is essentially a Zoom, offered like a Zoom experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to the website or the galleries online. How would I get involved?
So you can go to our website, and there'll be a link there. As a matter of fact, on the Penn State Lehigh Valley website, on the arts page, we now have a section called Arts Project Online. And if you go there, you can experience the past programs that we did. We have recordings.
Oh, that's exciting.
So you can actually go back and see those and view those. But we will have this one. The registration link will be up on our website, and you can click on that. We also have Arts at Penn State Lehigh Valley as our Facebook page. There's a link there. Or someone could just email me at annlalick@psu.edu, and I could send them the registration link. And it's a webinar setup. It's so if people have done classes that are Zoom meetings, this is set up a little bit differently as a webinar. You don't see each other. Like in a meeting, you see everyone who's there. All the participants show up. The way we have this set up as a webinar, you only see the tour, which we're showing, and some slides, and the panelists. So everyone else is not appearing, which I kind of like, because if I were someone attending, you know, I might want to just have my pajamas on and not actually have to have anyone see me, you know. So
exactly.
I kind of like to remind people of that. You know, you can participate and no one can see you.
And so, what's been the response to the project, aside from the excitement of having people from all over the country being involved?
Yeah, we've actually had pretty good attendance. The last one that we did was the hashtag MeToo project with Amy Arbus and Martha Posner. And I think we had something like 78 people register to attend, which I think is really good. I thought, you know, the whole idea of a webinar is people can't see how many people are there. So the attendees really don't know. I mean, are there 5 people watching this? Are there 100 people watching this? So I thought it was kind of exciting to have that many people register.
And it's exciting that it's available online after the event as well. You know, it becomes an archive kind of the whole project. I was doing some reading about the What You Were Wearing exhibit itself. Really took me aback. A very powerful concept, interesting opportunities for each college or exhibitor to make the process their own or the project their own. Can we step back and take a look at the background of that particular exhibit and what drew you to invite it into the Penn State Galleries?
Yes. Well, it was created by 2 women, Jen Brockman and Dr. Mary Wyant Hibbert, both from, Dr. Hibbert is from University of Arkansas and Jen Brockman is from University of Kansas, and they created this back in 2013. They attended a conference on sexual assault, and they heard a poem, or read a poem, or heard the poem at this conference called What I Was Wearing by Mary Simmerling. And they got together, these 2 women, and created this concept of this exhibit. I think I'm saying all this right, although if you really want to get the story, you got to attend our webinar on September 3rd. But they created this exhibit where the concept is that they have what they call stories. There's about 50 stories that they collected by anonymous victims, sexual assault victims. And they're very, very short. They're really like a label, like a sentence or two maybe. And they have these anonymous stories, and what they did for their first exhibit was they displayed these labels, these little stories, where the victim is really saying, maybe they're saying, I was wearing a blue T-shirt and jeans, and then go on to say, I had no idea this was going to happen, or something like that. So they have these stories, and then they match those stories up with clothing that they gathered together and displayed. So when you read the description or the story and then you look at the clothing, and it really is powerful. But the neat thing about it, the way they designed it, is that anybody can take their resources. They're very generous. They're very giving. They sent us the resources, the stories, the anonymous stories, and then we could collect clothing and do our display however we wanted to. I can't take credit for bringing the exhibit here to Penn State Lehigh Valley because our nurse, our campus nurse, Marissa Ketchum, actually came to me about a year before we actually had the exhibit. And she said, "Now, Anne, I saw this really interesting exhibit. Another Penn State campus had done it, not one that's near here, more on the other side of the state." And she said, "You know, I think this looks really interesting." So I looked at it, and I thought it looked interesting, too. So we started to research more about it. And then I thought, well, this might be a neat exhibit for our community gallery. And then just at that same time, right around that same time, Martha Posner had been posting pictures on Instagram of work she was doing with Amy Arbus, which is a hashtag MeToo project, which is also about sexual assault. So we had the two exhibits at the same time. But also what was really exciting about doing it here on our campus is that Marissa, the nurse, really kind of helped take charge of this. And we were able to get our art club students and our RISE students, club students, and the students installed the clothing. They went and purchased. We gave them a little bit of money out of our student affairs budget, and they went and purchased clothing from Goodwill. And actually, we couldn't fit 50 of the stories, so we had to cull it down to about 20 stories. So they selected the stories that we were going to use, and they did the display, and they got the clothing, and they did such a wonderful job and really learned a lot, I think, about all the considerations that you have to go through when you're doing a display. So their involvement made it really special for me as the gallery director to, you know, just be able to work with them so closely and see them get involved.
That's really interesting. So the clothing itself, the students particularly who are purchasing and displaying this are kind of mm-hmm. interpreting the stories as well when they're doing this.
Exactly, yeah.
That's interesting. And is that true of every production of this exhibit, every time that it's offered, would that be the case?
Every time this exhibit would shows anywhere in the country, the people putting it together can do their own interpretation, so to speak.
We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back to talk with Anne Lalek, Gallery Director and Arts Coordinator of the Penn State Lehigh Valley, about the Arts Project Online and upcoming September 3rd, very special Arts Project Online. I'm Kate Scuffle. I'm your host. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY 88.1.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight we're talking with Anne Lalek, Gallery Director and Arts Coordinator at Penn State Lehigh Valley, about the Arts Project Online series and the September 3rd upcoming Arts Project Online, which focuses on an exhibit called What Were You Wearing? Survivor Art Installation. Welcome back, Anne.
Great to be here.
We were talking a little bit about the exhibit initially for the founders of this process. We were inspired by a poem by Mary Simmerling called What I Was Wearing. We'd like to share the poem with you just to give you a sense of it and what inspired the exhibit. So, what I was wearing was this. From the top, a white T-shirt, cotton, short-sleeved, and round at the neck. This was tucked into a jean skirt, also cotton, ending just above the knees and belted at the top. Underneath all this was a white cotton bra and white underpants, though probably not a set. On my feet, white tennis shoes, the kind one plays tennis in. And then finally, silver earrings and lip gloss. This is what I was wearing that day, that night, that 4th of July in 1987. You may be wondering why this matters, or even how I remember every item in such detail. You see, I've been asked this question many times. It's been called to my mind many times, this question, this answer, these details. But my answer, much awaited, much anticipated, seems flat somehow, given the rest of the details of that night, during which, at some point, I was raped. And I wondered, what answer, what details would give comfort, could give comfort to you, my questioners, seeking comfort where there is, alas, no comfort to be found? If only it were so simple. If only we could end rape by simply changing clothes. I remember also what he was wearing that night, even though it's true that no one has ever asked Mary Simmerling what I was wearing.
You did that beautifully, Kate.
It's a beautiful piece.
I get choked up every time I read this poem or hear this poem.
I was struck in reading some of the background of the exhibit. You know, it's easy to maybe not to forget, but how particularly appropriate or whatever it is for a university to share work like this. I was startled to see that attacks or sexual assault numbers are really high at the beginning of school years. And it's interesting how some of the stories, I've read some of the stories involved in the exhibit, the labels, there's a kind of innocence and a loss of innocence involved in the stories that's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I wonder how it was for, I believe, Elise Schaefer and a Thomas Mikkel were mentioned as two students who particularly were involved in crafting PSU's choices.
Yes. Yeah. Elise led the charge in doing this. And she's also the one who created the tour. And Thomas was the president of the RISE Club. It's a club for recognizing and assisting people who have been victims. Mm-hmm. So they were very passionate about doing this and about doing a good job. Also, if it's okay with you, I think I'd like to also talk a little bit more about the two women who created this. I mean, their resume, so to speak, are so impressive, and they have decades of experience working with sexual assault victims, and both are with universities. And I just found it so interesting how they just took this idea of sort of a myth, you know, that what you were wearing had something to do with what happened to you, you know. So they take this myth and they turn it upside down. And I think that's what makes this exhibit, you know, so powerful. You know, how something as simple as putting on clothes when asked, it causes that victim to relive this horrible experience, and it has no effect on the person asking the question. So I really love the idea, you know, talking about doing this at a university, the education that I think people gained experiencing this. I can't tell you how many people walked through this exhibit and at the end were just, you know, crying. As a matter of fact, at the end of your program, I was thinking we should list phone numbers for Crime Victims Council and Turning Point for people who, you know, some people might even hear this interview and might decide that they need to call somebody. One of the things we realized when putting this exhibit together, I was so educated in being involved with this. I said, oh, this is a good show for our community gallery, not really thinking about the fact that the community gallery is in the hallway. Hmm. So when someone would walk around the corner, you know, walking down the hallway, they were suddenly confronted with this exhibit. It wasn't an exhibit that we put in the gallery where you had to open a door to walk in the space. It was a hallway. So one of the things, first of all, we did post signs, and one of the requirements that Mary and Jen have when they have as part of their packet is that we are required to put signage up listing phone numbers for helplines and contacts for people who need that. But the other thing we didn't realize was that, or we didn't realize right away, was that as people would walk around the corner, they'd be confronted with these stories. And as, you know, we were just talking about, they really hit you. They're quite powerful. So we, and the students and I discussed this, okay, we have to take some responsibility for what the impact is going to have on these people. So we created smaller labels than Mary and Jen kind of had in their packet. And we made them smaller, and we had cover on them so that the viewer had to approach the exhibit and lift it to actually read it. You know, just so this idea that you weren't confronted with something just to hit you in the face without taking a step to read it.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, you know, when we're talking without visuals, but all these things, you know, came into consideration when you start to talk about such difficult topics.
Well, it's interesting because I, in talking with my husband on the way over about this, we were talking about issues of consent, how consent ties into the idea when you're discussing rape or sexual assault. The idea of the covers, you're giving the respect to the viewer to make a choice to step up and be ready to do this.
Right.
Which that's interestingly kind of harmonious with the concept. And so the hallway choice was serendipitous. It's just that's where the community gallery is.
Yes, the community gallery is a large hallway. You know, you can stand back and view the work, but it is a place where people just walk through just because they have to go to a class or something like that. So, like, you know, kind of like what I was saying earlier, it was an education to me because had I really, in all honesty, thought through the impact of this exhibit, I may not have made the decision to put it there. The other thing I think in my mind initially in deciding to put this in the community gallery was thinking, well, these are pieces of clothing. They're, you know, we're going to be probably getting them at Goodwill. And, you know, and I guess I just had this sort of community feeling about it. But when you take these pieces of clothing, which the students so carefully selected, and you make the decisions of how to hang them, we pinned them so that the arms might be kind of going to the side, and they became works of art. I mean, we call this survivor art installation. They're really, you know, it's a pile of clothes from Goodwill, but as they get displayed on this wall, they become works of art with these labels that give them meaning. So that was my decision to put in the community gallery, not really thinking about how traumatic the whole exhibit would be. You know?
Well, I'm just thinking, listening to you with that experience and looking at who's on the panel discussion, if I, again, in the community want to take part in this and learn more, it's interesting that the panelists are essentially now will be the students. Elise and Thomas, who were involved with that process of creating art out of that clothing, Jen Brockman and Mary Wyant-Hebert, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who were the kind of founders, Marissa Ketchum, your campus nurse, who suggested this, moderated by yourself. So I think I'm really looking forward to hearing this conversation. I think this should be fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I am too, because I have never met Jen or Mary, and we had one email connection, and really, even when we got the whole packet, I think it was an email. I think actually Marissa sent an email to the contact, whatever the contact was, and the packet was sent, and this is, you know, kind of what the instructions are and what we needed to do in order to use it, and I just connected with Jen and Mary about a month ago, and so we haven't met. So I'm excited to see them, meet them, and talk with them as well.
Well, sadly, we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that our listeners are reminded that they can take part in that conversation or listen to this conversation, listen to you guys meet each other. Thursday, September 3rd at 1 p.m., you can register at the Arts Project online. And I think that's all they need to know to participate, but I do want to share Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley is at cvclv.org. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-HOPE. And is there anything else that we'd like to add as we wrap up?
No, but if you do participate, there is going to be a question and answer. People are welcome to participate by asking questions as well.
I thought so.
So I hope people are inspired to come and join us on the 3rd. And thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you, Anne. This has been a wonderful conversation. This has been Anne Lalek joining us tonight on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Anne is the gallery director in Penn State Lehigh Valley. We've been talking about the upcoming September 3rd Arts Project online around What Were You Wearing? Survivor Art Installation. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, and you've been listening to WDIY 88.1.